But Father, it's over. And what is done is done. What didn't get done, didn't get done. And we pray, Father, now as we stand on the threshold of a brand new year and as we christen our lives, this church, and our faith in this age, we pray, Lord, that You would allow us, we know that You're willing, we know that You're able, but Lord, that You would accept us, that You would take us, that You would allow us to be involved in what this year holds by decree of Your holy kingdom, by Your precious will. So, Father, we dedicate ourselves to You today, and we ask that, Lord, that You'd bless this message to our hearts. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Grab your Bibles then, because this is the first Sunday of the year. Grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus this morning, Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33 in our study this morning, verses 13 to 15. We are dedicating our lives and this year unto the Lord. Today we take our break from our regularly scheduled study. Exodus 33, beginning at verse 13. And I got to tell you why you're turning there. If it were just you and I here this morning, that would be enough. You say, well, who are you talking to? I'm talking to you. If it's just you and I here this morning, that would be enough. But the exciting thing about what's going on right now, you've often heard me say that as we come together in church, that we are on this end of the day, most of this day, this first Sunday in 2005 has passed for most of the world. We come down the Pacific West Coast. It's fleeting. And we were in one of the last few time zones to worship, praise, and study God's Word until another day passes, until we get deeper into the year. And so if you and I were the only ones here, that would be enough for me as I thought about this message and what it means to my life personally. And I hope with what God is showing me personally that it translates into your own heart and your life, that we together can attack this year for Christ. But it's more than you and I that are here this morning. As I made mention, the day has been one where God's people all around the world have been worshiping and seeking Him and following Him and dedicating themselves to what God wants to do. And so this morning we look at a message entitled that this could be the year. And I want you to jot that down. If you would take notes this morning, make it a diary perhaps for this year. Mark it. That this could be the year. And that's what the Lord has laid on my heart. Jack, what are you going to do? I assume I'm not alone in this. As the year comes to an end, as we approach the year's end, and as we now here stand at a new year, you start thinking, I'm not much for resolutions. I've tried all that. It doesn't work. I'm not much for getting all sentimental about things like New Year's and watching the ball drop in Times Square. And, you know, you guys, I was in bed when the new year rang in. See, you're boring to be with. I may be, but before I fell asleep, I said, Lord, when I wake up, oh, Lord, please, let me wake up in a new year completely renewed and dedicated to You like never before. Because there's never been a year 2005. I've never lived it before. I've never been here before. You've never been here before. And so that's when I prayed out to the Lord and I curled up in a ball and I went to sleep. And I woke up in 2005. And I believe God wants to do great things. So when we say and when we ask, when we think about, could this be or this could be the year? What kind of year are we talking about? Well, look at Exodus 33. This is going to be one of, church, listen, this is going to be one of our verses for the year. Okay? So mark it down. Exodus 33:13 says, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, Moses is praying to the Lord, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your nation. And he said, that is, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence, this is Moses now speaking back to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from this place. Church, I don't care if you're sleeping this morning, catching up on some lost sleep. I'm going to include you in this prayer. Lord, from this moment on today, if you do not go with us, we're not going anywhere. Will somebody say amen? Amen. We are not moving. We are not going. Lord, I'm hanging on to this seat. Unless you give me confidence and assurance that you're going to go with me. Listen, you can have a first-class ticket to, I don't know, wherever you want to go. You can have a first-class ticket to Rome or Paris or New York. And, you know, did you see American Airlines? You can buy a first-class ticket on that new thing. It's a new thing. It's a plane, but it's the new treatment. You get in there, you give them your ticket, they seat you. You go in there, you press a button, I guess, or whatever you do. And this little dome comes out in first class and covers you. And your first-class seat turns into a bed. You're completely... And you can go from Los Angeles or New York to London or Paris. You say, man, sign me up. Well, if you've got $11,000, go ahead and sign up. $11,000 for an airplane ride, round trip. Man, you can have that kind of ticket. And if God's not on the plane, that's not going to be a very comfortable flight. If God's not in it, what does it matter? What does it matter, as Jesus said, if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What does it matter if you've got great plans for this year and God's not in it? Church, it'd be disastrous, both in Christian service or in our businesses, in our companies, in our exploits, be them of the world or of the Lord, or we want to say it's of the Lord. If God's not in it, it's not going to work. So we want to be careful as we christen this year that we do that which is of God and led by the Lord. Church, listen, jot it down. This could be the year that brings us closer to the Lord. Will you put that down? That's number one. This could be the year that brings us closer to the Lord. That is my prayer for me. That will be my endless prayer for you. Lord, that we would be closer to you this year. What does that look like? What are we asking for? In my own life, again, this message is very personal. This is what the Lord showed me. That, Jack, you need to be willing to be hungry for me. So jot that down. Closer by this way, and I know it's true for all of us. Closer if we're willing to be hungry. That is, hungry for the Lord. Can you admit, will you admit, it is true nonetheless, that you and I need to be hungry more for God. We need to be absolutely starving for the Lord. Desperate. When you read the Bible, do you not see God using people who are radically desperate for Him? When you see people like Rahab crying out to God, when you see people like Abraham crying out to the Lord, He moves, He comes, He intervenes in their lives, and He scoops them up in their hunger. That's what we want to do. Jeremiah 15:16. The Bible says, your words were found, Jeremiah is speaking, your words were found and I did eat them, and your words were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah is saying, I was longing for you, I was hungering for you, I found your word, that is the Bible, and I consumed it. I took it in. And when I took in the Bible, listen church, when I took in the Bible, I found out that I am called by your name. Is any of you struggling with doubt? Does any of you struggle with where your relationship is with God? Are you sure of your position in Christ? Are you sure of your assurance? Your salvation? Are you sure that God is on your side for this year, meaning this, that He's not going to rally behind our plans? As we seek Him, as we hunger for Him, God will see to it that we rally behind His plans. And that when we consume His Word, as we stand now at the threshold of a new year, and on our New Year's Eve service, we commenced our, you know, going through the Bible again in 1 year. Isn't that great? Were you excited when you came to December 31st and opened it up? That's pretty exciting. We came to December 31st, read through the Bible in a year, and now we start over again. The more we eat of the Word of God, the more God will lead us and direct us, and the more, listen, the more hungry we become for the Lord. It's a strange contradiction, because we are hungering for the Lord. We eat of the Word, and we hunger more for the Word, yet at the same time we're filled. Will you, church, this day, dedicate yourself from this moment onward this year to consume the Word of God? Every one of us can do it. Let me put it to you this way. I wish this were true in a sense, just to provoke you. But what if God were to say today, I'm only going to take those who are at least attempting to read through the Bible every day with me for the year. Those are the only ones that are going to go to heaven. Would you read the Bible every day? Of course you would. But see, that's not how you get into heaven. I want to say that's how you get into heaven. No, not to sell new Bibles. I want to say that's how you get into heaven, because I know that if I somehow even were to coerce you to read the Bible, you would do better. How funny it is this morning. I am starving, hungering, longing to have you read more of the Bible so that you would do better, because if you do better and if I do better, we do better. We all do better. And life, though it's going to have its bumps, and I'm telling you now, 2005, I'm not a prophet, but if 2004 was the most costly, as we learned on New Year's Eve, the most costly, devastating year in human history. And that data, by the way, came in prior to the great tsunami. Did you know that? Did you know that the United States had over 1,700 tornadoes, breaking the record previously the year before by over 300 tornadoes in America? Now 1,700 tornadoes hit the United States in 2004. A record devastation of hurricanes. Did you know that globally that the cost of the natural disasters even prior to the great tsunami last week tipped the scale at over $40 billion in damage worldwide? Most of it was in the state of Florida. Wow. 2005, if things continue on a Caltech JPL scale, if you go visit that website and look, if they continue as the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's website tells you, storms are going to get bigger. Storms are going to get stronger. Earthquakes are going to be more intense. That's what the data shows. This is non-biased, non-Christian, non-secular, just data. And that's exactly what Jesus said. As time goes on, things are going to get more difficult in the world that we live in. 2005, church, is going to be a difficult year when it comes to these natural disasters. But what do? Throw our hands up in the air and run out of the building? Not at all. We rejoice as Christians because this could be the year that we're drawn closer to God. Are you willing as a church to accept that? I know that when I put these notes together, this goes into my personal diary. The Lord said to me, Jack, are you willing to be drawn closer to me? I went through this privately, alone with the Lord, and I know what this means. Lord, if I say yes to that challenge, watch, because that's where you're at right now, right? Do I say yes to this? Do I even write down the point? Because if I write it down, then God will see me write it down. Lord, if I say yes to this, then that means I'm signing up for things that are going to be difficult. Option two, don't agree with the Lord on this. Don't agree. Just give up on it. Just say, no, Lord, I'm not willing. Church, when you say you're not willing to follow God, does your life become smooth and pleasurable? And no way, man. Difficulties are going to come anyway. Better for me to say, Lord, draw me closer this year. Knowing that that could mean cancer, flat tire, hard drive crash, broken arm, financial problems. Who knows what knows? God knows. Where else are we going to go? Like Peter, we cry out, where shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. What are we going to do? So this morning with you, look, if you like it or not, tough. I'm bringing you in on it. We today are going to say, Lord, bring us closer to you. Because, Lord, I want now to pray. I'm willing to be hungry for you. Cause your word to be eaten in my life as I consume your Bible. Second thing under this point that brings us closer to the Lord, this could be that kind of a year. Closer if we're willing to be thirsty for the Lord. Thirsty for the Lord. Say, Jack, what does that mean, to be thirsty for the Lord? To be thirsty for the Lord is to claw, as it were, to grapple, to latch onto His refreshing. For thirst to be quenched, we talked about it on New Year's Eve, for thirst to be quenched, we must seek Jesus, whom said to us, if any man thirst, let him come to me, and I will give him rivers, waters, that lead to everlasting life. Forever waters. Soothing the soul. Psalm 63 verses 1 through 3 says, O God, you are my God. Listen to the psalmist preach to himself. God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. Will you jot that down? God told me, Jack, start seeking me early. Now, I do seek him early. And my natural comeback was, Lord, I do seek you early. Lord came back to me and he said, you know what? You seek me early in your routine, but you're not seeking me with a heartfelt passion. I want you, you know, I don't mean to offend anybody. I'm using very old English right now, and I'm quoting Charles Spurgeon. So as though that makes it okay, but he was a great author and great preacher. Charles Spurgeon says this is the true meaning of this word. He says, our heart's delight cannot be unless we enjoy intercourse with God in being alone with Him. The true meaning of the word. To intercourse with our God. To get alone with Him. Early will I seek you. Lord, I'm here intercoursing with you before the phone rings. Listen, please listen. Intercoursing with you, Lord, before the faxes start coming in. Before the kids wake up. Before the husband wakes up. Or the wife wakes up. Or before the day gets started. Will we this year say, Lord, I will seek you early. Now, church, do you know what that means? If you got to get up early, that means you got to go to bed a little earlier. Are you willing to turn off whatever's on TV? Are you willing to maybe read that book you're reading in the evening a little earlier? Will you put God first this year and as a grand experiment, do that and see what happens? I boldly say this, give God 30 days of seeking Him early. And I bet you after 30 days, you will not be able to put Him down. You will be so filled with victory. People will come into your office or into your home and they'll say, you know what, this thing just happened. And you'll go, okay, well, here's what we're going to do about it. This is what's going to happen. And you talk, and you don't panic about it. Will we do it? It's easier to do that, truly, in the long run, than to reach for a bottle of Melanta or Tums. Because we're all stressed out. Because we're running crazy. Seek Him first. Everything during the day will fall in its place. I cannot explain it. To me, it's a miracle that we can put God first in the most busiest of our days and somehow He causes that entire day to fall right into its place. And guess what? The things that I had on my agenda to get done and they don't get done, they weren't on God's agenda. Well, yeah, but it was in my day timer. It apparently wasn't on God's day timer. Yeah, but you know, this is really important. To whom? Chances are it was extremely urgent on our side, but not important to God. Try it. Hey, I'm not going to name this guy's name. We all love him. He's a dear friend, great guy. But when you ask him to come and teach here, he'll say, yeah, I'll put it down. This is crazy. This is wild. Yeah, I'll put it down and we'll see what happens. And we learned what that meant, to see what happens. Because he says, listen, I'm up to the Lord. He can interrupt my life at any moment. So you can pencil me in. I'll be there if I can. But I'm planning on being there. That's a little too led by the Spirit for me. Man, I can't imagine showing up here or not showing up here and just leaving you guys a note. The Lord called me to Maui this morning and you know, it's outrageous. And yet, as I look at this brother's life, his life was led by the Spirit of God, and you cannot deny it. It's radical to our thinking. Thirsting for the Lord. Matthew 5:6 tells us. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they might maybe someday be filled. Oh no, they shall be filled. Well, Pastor, I'm not filled. Well, you know, it says, happy are those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Maybe you and I this year need to say, Lord, and look, we can all pray this prayer. In fact, I'll pray it for you. I'll include you in it as I go to the throne right now. Lord, we all at this church need to hunger more and more and thirst more and more for your righteousness. Amen? In Jesus' name. The third consideration under this point, that this could be the year that brings us closer to the Lord. Closer if we're willing to be longing. Longing for Him. Psalm 42 verse 2 says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Says the psalmist. Willing to be longing for God. See, in our lives, Christians, we've got this mindset of Western America of Western world, I should say, that we must be satisfied. We've got to be satisfied. We have satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. We've got satisfaction guaranteed within this time limit or your macho burrito is free. You know, have you ever seen those things where the clock ticks off? And if they don't serve you within 3 minutes, your food's free. I want satisfaction. People call up. We take our car to get serviced at a local dealer here. And look, we're not going to go to any other dealer. It's the closest one around. But they haven't caught on to that yet. They call so many times after I take the car there. I pick up the car. They call. Yes, we'd like to take a survey on how were you satisfied? Yes, of course. Look, I've been going there for 12 years. Leave me alone, will you? I'm going to be back again. Yes, I'm satisfied. I keep coming back. It's fine. I've bought every car there. It's fine. Yeah, but we want to know if you're satisfied. I'm satisfied! The only thing that bothers me is this phone call. You keep calling me to say, I'm satisfied. We've got to be satisfied. Wait a minute. We will never be satisfied spiritually unless we find ourselves longing for God. There's no other way. God has given us snippets of understanding when we stand like we saw Leah. Remember when Leah came up here and she had the 3 gold medals from the Olympics? Years and years of laboring, years and years of sweating, years of hungering and thirsting and longing, 12 years to obtain 3 gold medals. And who only can enjoy those gold medals, even though I had them around my neck? I can't enjoy them like she can. Because she's the one that put forth the effort. My friend, now that you are a Christian, paw, scrape, crawl, seek God, grab onto His robe, and hang on to Him. And Lord, say to Him, Lord, I am longing that You be bigger in my life this year. Lord, be more grand in my life this year. Church, I refuse to have you and I sit here and just go into another year. We are 1 year closer to the return of Jesus Christ, or 1 year closer to you and I dying of old age. And while I'm able, to move and able to speak and able to do what I'm doing, I want to do it and make the biggest impact until that time is up. Church, you and I could have a stroke in the next hour and we won't be able to do what we're doing. How terrible would it be that if we had a stroke and our arms are paralyzed along our side, then we would say when we're locked inside these bodies, oh, how I wished, God, I would have been able to raise my hands back then out of my own heart's desire to praise You. Now I want to praise You because I appreciate life so much more and the smell of the air and the touch of my children. And I can't even lift my hands up to You now. I don't want to have time like that pass. While I'm able, I want to give everything I can to Him, as You do. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Did you hear that? James says, draw near to Him and He'll draw near to you. For time's sake, I'm going to paraphrase this next verse. Jot it down if you would. It's Genesis 32, verses 24 to 30. It's Jacob. And Jacob had been conniving and he's such a stinker. I tell you, Jacob was a something. If any of you think that you know you can't get saved, you ought to read Jacob's life. That guy was one sleazy, slimy, sneaky guy. You don't ever want to go into business with Jacob. You wind up broke and he winds up rich. And man, well, he's come now. He's at the nearing the end of Jacob's life, so to speak. He's coming to the end of himself. And he's left alone in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. The Bible says there that he was alone and a man appeared unto him and wrestled with him. And as they wrestled together all night long, that's the kind of guy Jacob was. He's wrestling out in the middle of the nowhere with this guy. Some man appears to him and he's wrestling. Can you imagine? Pick the guy up. Boom! Get over here. Wham! I mean, what was going on? Who are you anyway? What kind of a big deal did I swindle you out of? Boom. You know, what's your problem? Are you upset because I'm a better businessman than you are? Boom. And they're fighting all night long. And then the day begins to rise and this personage, this man, by the way, in your Bible, it's capital M, which gives you a warning that it's not a normal man. This man says, let me go, for it's the breaking of the day. I've got to get out of here.
And Jacob says, I am not letting you go.
I am not going to let you go. I am not going to let you go anywhere until you tell me who you are. And that man says, why do you ask me who I am? Why do you ask me about my name? And Jacob's wrestling and wrestling. Can you see, Jacob might even have this guy in a headlock. Because the guy says, let me go. And Jacob begins to discern something. This is weird. Jacob, who's got the guy in a headlock, says, I will not let you go until you bless me. And with that, the blessing came. Your name is Jacob. And from this moment on, your name will be called Israel. And his name was changed. And that man, capital M, turned and took his little finger and touched Jacob's hip. And wham! Instantly out of joint, and Jacob was crippled, or Israel was crippled for the rest of his life. And you say, how sad of a story that is. Oh, no, no. Sometimes it takes your hip to get broke before you even think about God. Sometimes it takes more than that for you to give up and say, Lord, I've been longing for myself. I now want to long for you. And Jacob gladly received the injured hip, the reminder that he had wrestled with the Lord. For he says, as that personage vanishes from his sight, Jacob says, I have fought with God. I have named now this place Penuel, declaring that I have seen the face of God face to face and I've wrestled with him. That was called a theophanies, a Christophanies, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. That's who the capital M man is, who he was. Jacob wrestled with Jesus before Jesus was ever born as a baby. And in that battle, the whole story was this. Jacob, come to the end of yourself and long after me. And Jacob said, from here on, I've seen the face of God. And his whole life changed from that moment on. Genesis 32. Second point this morning is this. This could be the year that causes us to grow deeper spiritually. That we grow deeper spiritually. Church, we're not going to put this book out to you yet. Because I'll be honest with you. I wasn't going to say this right now, but I'm going to say it because it came into my head. There's a book that's radically affecting my life right now, written by Warren Wiersbe. You've bought some of his books before. He's a precious man of God. And I've turned my little book, it's probably, I'm going to guess, it might be 100 pages, I'm guessing. It's a very tiny little thing. It's so powerful that I've been turning mine into like a diary. I've written all over it, I've dated it, and I've circled things. Lord, this is exactly my heart. Please. And I've written things in there. God, I need a revival in my life. Do this, please, what he's speaking of. And so I've written all over mine. It so affected me that I wound up buying a copy for all of the staff, but they're only allowed to read one chapter a month. But they've got to read that chapter many, many times during the month. Because we're going to get together once a month and totally consume and discuss that chapter about what it meant in your life. Well, we're going to go through a couple of months. And then we're going to put the book out before you so you can grab onto it and start going. I tell you something, the most precious thing is this that we find out about it. As I'm going through there, he answers the longing of my heart. And that is, I need to grow deeper spiritually in 2005. I've got to grow deeper. I've got to be more jealous of my time between me and the Lord. I've got to escape like you do. Find a place and grow deeper. To open up the Bible according to John 15:7, that Jesus said, if my word abides in you, you may ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And herein is my Father glorified. Lord, I ask you, cause your Bible to be lived out of my life and cause me to grow deeper. How does that happen? Only if we're willing. Will you jot that down? This will only happen. You and I will only grow deeper if we are willing. And here's my problem. I don't know if I'm willing. You say, well, Jack, you sure sound willing this morning. Am I willing at 2 p.m. in the afternoon? Am I willing at 7:15 in the evening? Am I willing at 4 a.m.? I don't know. I'll say this again. I said it on New Year's Eve
It's one of those things that God has shown me in my own private life. Jack, ask me, isn't it funny? Why doesn't he just do it? No. Jack, ask me to be so involved in your life that I will not let you stay very long with yourself. Does that make sense to anybody? Ask me, Jack, to protect you from yourself. You see, if God does that in my life, I don't have to worry about Satan and demons and earthquakes and tsunamis and finances and weather and people. It's me that's the problem. I need to get away from me. I need to find Jesus larger, bigger, more present in my life so that the Word of God is fulfilled. He who desires to save his life will wind up losing it. But he who gives up his life, that's what I'm talking about, will find it. Yes, Lord, in this year of 2005, cause me to find it like never before. Matthew 10:16, Jesus said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Only if we're willing. Lord, here I am." Jesus says, "Okay, here you go." He didn't say, "I send you out like gladiators in the midst of wolves." He didn't say that. "I send you out as, you know, hunters in the midst of wolves." Well, what's so big about that? Can you imagine? "I send you out among pit bulls as a poodle." "Go from this place, Jack, as a chihuahua in the midst of Great Danes." "Hey, Lord, here I am, Lord." It's got to be impossible. Wolves eat sheep. But when God is the shepherd of that lamb, a wolf cannot get near that little lamb. Why? Because I've told you before, at best, and I know pastors don't like me to say this, it's tough. At best, the greatest pastor in all this world is a sheepdog at best. Jesus is the chief shepherd. We, at best, are helping him manage his flock. We are the dogs. Jack, the sheepdog. That's what I do. He's the shepherd. And that's important to me. Lord, cause me to grow deeper with you and cause me to go out from this place today like a little lamb in the midst of wolves out there. And I know this, that this little lamb is quite able in Christ. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can you imagine this little lamb? Ding, 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 ding. This big wolf comes up. What do? Pull a machine gun out of my wool? Do I have a machete? No. I have the Word of God in my heart. Because I've already eaten it later. Or earlier on, remember? We ate the Word. Well, we eat it. We eat it beginning, we eat it in the end. We eat it. And that little lamb standing there in the midst of a wolf. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of spiritual attack. And we say things like this. I belong to the Lord. Hey, for God so loved me, He gave His only begotten Son for me. That if I would believe in Him, and I do, I would not perish but have everlasting life. There is no weapon formed against me that shall prosper, says the little lamb. And you see, through the Word of God, that little lamb is as though he's fitted with armor. But we need to be willing. Number two, this could be the year that causes us to grow deeper spiritually only if we're faithful. Time doesn't permit me to give you this entire portion of reading, but Luke 19:12-26 announces when Jesus says concerning our faithfulness. And this, listen, are you a Christian this morning? Don't raise your hand. Are you a Christian this morning? Do you even claim to be a Christian? All right? Then listen, in about 1 minute, you're going to be in big trouble. Because Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A certain nobleman, he's speaking about himself, goes into a land and gives his followers, his servants, certain tasks, certain talents, certain opportunities. To one he gave 5, to the other 10, and to the other 15. And then he left, telling them that I'll be back in an appointed time. Invest. Make use of it. And this is where you and I come in. The Bible says that one man, he had the little bit. I find that interesting. He had the little bit, and instead of making it a lot, he said, oh, I don't want to lose what I have. I'm going to hang on to it. And I'm going to sit on it. So I'm going to bury it in the ground and just sit on it. I'm going to become a hearer of the word and not a doer. Because I could get hurt if I become a doer. Somebody could criticize me. Somebody could say, why are you doing that? Somebody could say, that's not right. So instead of me risking anything, I'm just going to take life that God has given me and I'm going to sit on it. And I'm going to live life, but I'm going to sit on it. The man that had 10, he said, hey, this is great. He's responsible for 10 like the other man was responsible for 5. He said, I'm going to invest this. I'm going to use it to the glory of my master and see what happens. And what happened? He prospered. The man that had 15, he did the same thing. He prospered. Then the master, Jesus says, the master comes back in the end. And he says, all right, everybody, line up. Hey, mister, you that I gave 5 opportunities, 5 talents, 5... oh, scopes of influence. What did you do with it? Oh, he says, I knew. Listen, he says, I knew that you were a very demanding person. And so I buried it and sat on it so that I could at least give that to you. And Jesus says that the master will say, well, that's a waste. Come, take from him what he has, give it to the others, and cast him out. Because he was unfaithful. He should have at least, Jesus said, put it in the bank to collect interest. In other words, you should have at least tried something with your life for the kingdom of God. You should have at least tried. God can give you an A for trying. No, I'm going to sit and govern my own life. Then he goes to the one with 5, or the one with 10, excuse me, and multiplied that to the man with 15 and multiplied that. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servants. The point is this, only if we're faithful will we grow spiritually this year. Will you be faithful? You say, well, Pastor, faithful to what? I don't have a clue. Faithful to what? God is telling you to do. Well, he's not saying anything. He's saying everything nonstop. You're just not listening. I am convinced now. I am solely convinced that God never stops talking to me. If I just get alone, he's always speaking to me. Every time I pick up my Bible, he's always speaking. I've learned this with the Lord. The thing is, I don't hear him all the time because I'm not always listening. Third under this point is this, we need to be obedient. We're going to grow spiritually deep, church, if we're obedient. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7 through 11, Jeremiah 1, 7 through 11, the scripture says, but the Lord said to me, do not say, I am just a young person, I'm a youth. No excuses. For you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Behold, I have set this day you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, I see a branch. And that branch was the core of his very ministry. God says, I touched your tongue. Church, here's a prayer. I don't know what to pray. This is the prayer. Lord, just like you touched Jeremiah's tongue, in Jesus' name I pray that you would touch the tongue of Jack in this church, all that attend, all of our missionaries abroad, the churches that have gone out from this place in the U.S., touch them. Touch their tongue, Lord. Give them boldness. Cause them to speak your word. Lord, let them walk in your power. And we ask this in Jesus' name and all God's people said. We can pray that prayer. And we're negligent if we don't. In this year of 2005. Third and final point. This could be the year that provokes us to Christian duty. To Christian service. This could be the year that provokes us to Christian service. Jesus said in Matthew 23:11. But he who is the greatest among you, let him become your servant. This is why, that verse alone, mark it, Matthew 23:11. That's why, church, listen. How many of you have been with Jesus, let's say 10 years or under? Raise your hand, 10 years or under. How many of you have been Christians 10 years and over? Wow. Have you ever seen somebody arrogant in ministry? Have you ever seen someone prideful in ministry? He who is the greatest among you shall be your servant. If you ever see someone arrogant in ministry, know this, they're not a servant. It's impossible. I was watching a certain Christian, supposedly Christian television worldwide network, and this guy's program came to an end, and I was listening to the latest heresy that he was saying. If you want to get heresy, you can get it today. Did you know that? Just turn on so-called religious programming with your Bible open, and you'll get some heresy. And this guy literally, Lisa and I started busting up laughing. This guy was standing in Israel, perfect setting. They had the lighting. You could tell the camera crew was there. It was just too perfect. He's standing there and he says, now at the conclusion of our program, I want to encourage you to pick up the phone and call right now and get what I consider to be the greatest message I have ever delivered. I'm not joking. Lisa and I were watching this. He says, I've delivered what I believe to be the greatest message I've ever delivered. You won't believe the time. This message on humility will change your life. We did what you're doing. We were laughing. We couldn't believe it. Can you imagine somebody going, yes, I'm a servant of God. Can I help you? Now, if you follow me, what is that? The closer you walk with Jesus, the more we decrease and glad to decrease, the greater He increases. How can you be arrogant in ministry? You can be confident in the Lord. You can be strong in the Lord. You can be bold in the Lord. But listen, those things will never cause a man to glow like pride does. And you hear it when people say, my ministry. Have you ever? God will not allow me to say it. He won't allow you to say it. Well, why don't you come and visit my ministry? Hear it. My ministry. Flesh. It's His. We're nothing but sheepdogs at best. He died for the church and He rose again from the dead and He called us to be participants in it. That should humble us, don't you think? Christian service. Why do I say what I just said? Because now we're all qualified to be involved in Christian service. Because, church, listen, the opportunities are there. The opportunities are here. John 12:26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. Did you hear that? You want to find Jesus more and more deeper this year? You want to be provoked to Christian service? Find out where Jesus is. Where is Jesus? He's always ministering. Get involved in ministry. What would be the reason, the excuse why you don't get involved? Is it because you're carnal? There's no greater way to get out of your carnality than to get committed to Christ. Well, you know, I have too much time in my hands, so I get in trouble. Then come to prayer meetings. Sign up. Help us clean the church. Clear the courtyard. Fix, you know, repair the fountains. I don't know. Feed the pigeons out there. Something. Well, you know, I don't know if I'm qualified to feed a pigeon. Come on, no more excuses. Don't say that I'm a youth. Don't say that you're not qualified. Are you a Christian? Yep. Okay, then listen, I ought to be able to ask you, then what are you involved in? Because that's where Jesus is. Pray and step out. Well, what if God doesn't answer? Step out. Many times He speaks after you step. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation. Church, listen, who is a chosen generation? Gary knows the answer. Who else? Yeah, we are. We are the chosen generation that He's talking about. A royal priesthood. Priesthood? That means they do priestly things. That's right. Pray for friends. Minister unto the Lord. A holy nation. A holy people. His own special people. You're special. Look at you. You're so special. that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. That's us. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. So be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. This could be the year that provokes us to Christian service because of what time it is on the human clock. Think about it, what time it is on the prophetic clock. Jesus said in Luke 12:37, blessed are those servants whom when his master comes, finds them doing and watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them to sit down and eat with him and will come and serve them. John 9, verse 4, Jesus said regarding what hour it is, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night is coming when no man can work. Wow, I see an urgency. Lord, I need to be committed to service. Romans 13, 12, the night is nearly over. The day is almost spent. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies or in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissensions and jealousies. Rather, clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of our sinful nature anymore, except him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment in disputing matters. Grow up, he's telling us. Finally, this could be the year that provokes us to Christian service because this is your church. And let me end with this, and I am ending. This is your church. Now, you know what? As soon as I said that in some minds, they said, no, it's not. Now, that's fine if you have a church. And maybe you're here visiting for the holidays and you're going to go back to your church. That's wonderful. Then take this admonition and go back to your church. But will you find a church and make it your church? I speak on behalf of every pastor representing every ministry in America right now. One of the most damaging things is that we live in a culture that we're like little busy bees. We go around and we sample sermons to our own destruction, truly. Watch, what I mean by that is this. We will be judged bitterly for flying over here and sitting in that tremendous message and flying over there and sitting in that tremendous message and then driving over there and hearing that tremendous message. And while you're driving to these tremendous messages, because guess what? It doesn't matter, in my opinion, where you go. If it's a Bible-teaching, Spirit-filled church, you're going to hear God's message. Anybody hear me? Do you hear me? If you go to a God-ordained church that's teaching the Word and that's Spirit-filled, you'll hear a message that's applicable for your life. We live in a culture where people fly from one place to another and they actually are hearing sermons to their own destruction because they don't stop and get embedded in a church and take those sermons and make them work in the body of Christ. If we don't do that, we are just showmen. Oh, no, I'm not being the showman. But we're being showmen by showing up, hearing, and never becoming a doer. And we say things like this. Oh, I went last night to hear Greg Laurie. Wasn't that great? It was great. Oh, and I went to hear Pastor Chuck. Wasn't it great? Look where you live. You can drive and hear Greg Laurie, Chuck Smith, Dr. David Jeremiah. You can go to Calvary's all around. You can, you name it. I mean, look, we had Swindoll here not very far away at one time. You can go anywhere. It's a danger. Because you've never made a church your church. Find a church. If it's this church, then you know what? Take this year and say, God, that's it. I'm taking just one verse and I'm going to grab onto it like Jacob. And I'm going to live it out in my life. And I don't care if anybody discourages me. I'm going to live it out and I'm going to commit myself to you. And God, I'm going to serve your people even though they might throw it back in my face. I'm doing it for you, not for anybody. I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to make 2005 rock for the kingdom of God. And by doing so, Lord, I hope to put a dent in the kingdom of hell. Amen. Instead of flying around to sermons and never becoming a doer of the word. Find a church, dig in. And don't let anyone sway you. Serve the Lord in faithfulness. Stop criticizing. Pray and fix it. This is the mandate that we need to do for 2005. This is what God's laid upon my heart for this year. Jack, fix it. Don't complain about it. Do it. Preach it. Practice it. Read it. Live it. Herein is our Father glorified. That's what we will do this year by the grace of God. And all of God's people said, Amen. Father, we pray, asking you now to baptize us, Lord, in the power of your Holy Spirit. We know, Lord, that you would never give, no parent even would give a sword to a little child. They would cut themselves in half. So, Lord, cause us to be men and women of God. Lord, put into our hand the sword.